I've already preached a message to you why I preach on repentance and why I preach against sin. Somebody said to me, you really have to preach on why you preach against sin. I go, well, yeah, I think so. I mean, if you looked at yeah, it's sad, but yeah, I do. Anyway, so I want to explain to you why I preach on politics, because by the way, there's a lot of pastors that don't. Right, it is, and I want to go through that. But I want to show you, it's spiritual, that's why I do. It's very spiritual, and I'm going to show you just how spiritual it is and how conflicting this whole thing is. Anyway, so I'll give you a lot of information that'll really, you'll be kind of shocked at some of it probably, I'm sure. But all through the Bible, we see preachers and prophets preaching against the wickedness of the times. That God used men to warn people, and the leaders to warn people. He used them to warn that nation, and to warn them that, hey, judgment was coming, or warn them of wicked leadership and rulers that were doing wicked things in the land, and not to conform and comply with that wickedness, but to stand against that wickedness and to cry out against it. Cry out against the iniquities. We should be preaching against sin wherever it is. Not just, oh no, that's off limits, you don't talk about. You've been taught by the 501c3 corporations not to speak on politics. Not to speak on political things. Not to talk too much about those things. Because, you know, after all, a great guy named Lyndon B. Johnson decided that it was in the best interest of the churches to give them corporate status and to make them 501c3 corporate status and to make them, you know, be careful about your speech, what you say. And that started a long line that has went on for a while because he was going to lose an election. He didn't like that. So he said, I got to change this, and I almost lost that election. So I got to make it so churches can't really have a lot to do with that. Because, you know, Christians will shape a nation and their inactivity won't. Amen. All right. Anyway, so we'll talk about that a little while, but I just want to give you some examples first of rebuking sin, of people, prophets and preachers that stood up and rebuked sin, and then I'm going to show you why and what's going on in our world today. All right, number one, God told Nathan to rebuke David for his sin. Nathan was the prophet, right? Nathan was the prophet. David was the king, the man after God's own heart. Notice what he said in 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse number 7. And Nathan said to David, thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul, and I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives into thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah, and if that had been too little, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with a sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword by the children of Ammon. The children of Ammon, excuse me. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me, and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house, and I will take thy wives before thine eyes, and give them unto thy neighbor, and he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of this son. For thou didst it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun. Before all Israel, he said, I'm going to do it before all Israel. You preacher, go tell that man, you go tell that leader, you go cry against his sin, and you go tell him that God saw what you've done, and God knows exactly what you've done, and do it in the sight of all the sun. Because he tried to hide it. Now this judgment is coming upon all, for all to see, in front of all to see. Nathan was led by the Lord to go, and he was told to go and reprove David. Go. You know how hard that would be? But he did it. You know, there's too many pastors today that want to buddy up with these politicians and be friends with them. They want to hobnob with them. I don't want to. 99.9% of them are evil. Evil. 1 Corinthians. How about this next one? Elijah preached against the wickedness of Ahab and Jezebel. Oh man, Ahab and Jezebel. Now there's a story for you. 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse number 17. And it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah that Ahab said unto him, art thou he that troubleth Israel? It's always the preachers, isn't it? Archie, you're just messing up Bridge Square. I mean, we gotta take back Bridge Square, Brother Paul. We gotta take it back. You stole Bridge Square. You ruined our beautiful town. Why? Because you brought Jesus here. Don't bring Jesus here. He'll ruin anybody's sin. Don't bring Jesus here. Don't bring Jesus down to the town square. Don't lift up Jesus' voice. Why? That causes trouble. That named Jesus. I mean, they had silent protests. They had war protests there. They've had them ever since I've lived in this town. For 10 years, never seen one complain about it. You go down there, lift up your voice like a trumpet, bring the word of God, preach, and guess what? Everybody gets mad. And he answered, look at he said to him, and Ahab saw Elijah. Ahab's the king. Elijah's the prophet. What does he say to him? Ahab says to him, art thou he that troubleth Israel? And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, and that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and hast followed Balaam. Now therefore send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of the groves 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. Amen. He said, hey, bring them all up. Bring them all up to the mountain and do it before everybody. I want them all there. Well, Ahab was the king. He sure was, and it was spiritual. And it's spiritual today too. It ain't no different today. It's the same thing. You can try to bounce around and get around any way you want to, but it's the same thing. It's spiritual today. It's spiritual to go after it and to preach against their wickedness and cry against it. Then we go to 1 Kings chapter 21, verse number 17. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, arise, go down to meet Ahab, king of Israel, which is in Samaria. Behold, he is in the vineyard of Naboth, whither he is gone down to possess it. And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, thus saith the Lord, hast thou killed and also taken possession? And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, thus saith the Lord, in the place where dogs lick the blood of Naboth, shall dogs lick thy blood, even thine. That wasn't very nice of him. He should have used a little bit kinder speech than that. Brother John, that just seemed to be too straightforward. I mean, he should have thought about something frilly and lily to say to him to make him happy. Didn't work that way, did it? What did he say? He said, and Ahab said to Elijah, hast thou found me, O mine enemy? I love it. I love it! You know why I love it? Because they're the enemies of God, and they know it, and they've got to be told it. And he admitted it right there. He said, hast thou found me, O mine enemy? But Elijah said, oh no, king, I'm not your enemy, I'm your buddy. I love you. Let's be friends. Is that what he said? Did he say, let's make a compact together. Let's be friends. Let's hold hands and pray for each other. Is that what he said? Is that what he said? I'm sure I'll get plenty of enemies over just saying that right there. But I don't care! It was funny. It was good. Even Aaron talked, did you hear me? Oh, okay. It's real too, that's right. Did he say that though? No, he didn't say that. Hast thou found me, O mine enemy? And he answered, I have found thee, because thou hast sold thyself to work evil in the sight of the Lord. Behold, I will bring evil upon thee, and I will take away thy posterity, and will cut off from Ahab him that pisseth against the wall, and him that is shut up and left in Israel, and will make thine house like the house of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, and like the house of Baasha the son of Ahiah, for the provocation wherewith thou hast provoked me to anger and made Israel to sin. These leaders today and what they're doing in America is making America to sin against God. And they are legislating wickedness. They are pushing it out there every day. They are allowing it. They are propagating it. They love it. But keep silent, preacher. Don't talk about it. After all, it doesn't matter. The church is not supposed to be for politics. I mean, you're not supposed to talk about those things. Yeah, I know. Somebody should have told Elijah that when God sent him over there and said, go tell that wicked devil. Go talk to him. Or how about Jesus when he goes, go tell that fox, Herod. Herod's coming after you, Jesus. Yeah, go tell that fox. I'm here. I ain't going anywhere. So in 3 days, I'm going to die and I'm going to raise from the dead. He said, behold, I will bring evil upon thee. And of Jezebel also spake the Lord, saying, the dog shall eat Jezebel by the wall of Jezreel. Whew. Hey, you wicked devil. Your wife's going to get ate up by dogs. Now there's a sermon title. Man. You think I'm bad? That's, huh? Brother Paul? You think I'm bad? I mean, that was God saying that. That was God's prophet saying that. Come out, say the strong thing. Hey, dogs are going to lick your wife's blood and die. Pretty stern, ain't it? All right. So then we see Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 22, verse number 1. He preached against the shedding of innocent blood. That would be abortion. That would be infant. Is it infant genocide? Is that what it's called, Brother Paul? Yeah. Yeah. Jeremiah 22, 2. And 1 and 2, excuse me. Thus saith the Lord, go down to the house of the king of Judah and speak there this word. And say, hear the word of the Lord, O king of Judah, that sittest upon the throne of David, thou and thy servants and thy people that enter in by these gates. Thus saith the Lord, execute ye judgment and righteousness and deliver the spoiled out of the hand of the oppressor. And do no wrong, do no violence to the stranger, the fatherless, nor the widow, neither shed innocent blood in this place. So you got all these people that want to make a deal with all these politicians. They want to make a deal. They want to work it out with them. There's a religious right coalition and all these other people. They want to make a deal. Let's make a deal. Let's sit down with the devil and make a deal. I don't make a deal with you devils. I don't want to deal with any of them. I don't want to shake your hand. I don't want to look at you. I know what you've done. I've seen your record. I know exactly what you're doing. Go preach unto them, he said. Tell them to stop shedding innocent blood. Next, how about John the Baptist? He preached against the king's adultery. Oh, man. Mark chapter 6, verse number 17. For Herod himself had sent forth and laid hold upon John and bound him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife, for he had married her. For John had said unto Herod, it is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife. Therefore Herodias had a quarrel against him and would have killed him, but he could not. What happened? He put him in jail. He grabbed old John the Baptist. What did John do? He preached against adultery. Now, the Bible never says that God instructed him to go tell Herod that, does it? No, but he did it. Why? Because John preached, repent ye therefore, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He went and preached repentance. So he says, I see sin there. I'm going to preach against it. Even if it's the king's sin, I'm going to preach against it. I remember a few years ago when Bill Clinton was fornicating as president, nobody really cared because they were making a lot of money. Most people are like, oh, it's no big deal. Some preachers stood out against it. But most people are like, oh, it's no big deal. So, come on, it's not that big of a deal. I mean, we're all making money. Everybody's getting rich. Everybody's making money during the Clinton years. Everybody was doing fine. So it's like, hey, it's no big deal. It's just fornication. It's no big deal. That doesn't have anything to do with the presidency. That doesn't have anything to do with that. That's his private life. It's not his private. It's wicked. It's wicked as hell. He wasn't fit for office. Of course, none of them are anyway, but... How could this preacher, John, though, of repentance, not preach for the wicked king to repent of his sin of adultery? So what? He went to jail and some Jezebel was dancing in front of the king and she said, give me his head. So he said, okay, I'll give you his head. There he went. Dead. Dead. All right, next. We must understand there's only Christ or Antichrist. I've said this to you before, but I want you to understand this. Stop looking for a Republican and a Democrat and all these, and look at it, and devil. It's either you're saved or you're lost. It's either you follow the spirit of Antichrist or you have the spirit of Christ in you. When you look at anything, it must be Christ or Antichrist. I beg you to understand that it's only one, you're either Christ or you're New World Order. That's all there is to it. There's no in between. There is no in between. There's only two places. You're either on the Lord's side or you're following Baal. There is no difference. Just that. That's all there is to it. Listen to that sermon on Christ or the NWO sometime if you haven't listened to that. But the Bible says if you have the Spirit of Christ in you, then He is yours and you are His, and you're led by the Spirit of God. As many as received Him, them gave He power to become the sons of God, even them that call upon His name. You are the sons of God. As many are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. The Bible says. All right, so now I'm going to get real with you here on a few things. I'm just going to bring it down to right now here so you can see this, okay? What's really going on here. I want to give you an idea here. See, you're looking for Republican and Democrat, and I want to show you how these people, most of these popular politicians today, they're already in bed with the Antichrist. They're already part of the Antichrist movement. They're already part of it, and they're okay with it. Last election, the primaries. Remember that Chris? Remember Rick Santorum? Remember him? I remember hearing a bunch of Baptists that were voting for Rick Santorum. Now, first of all, Rick Santorum is a Catholic. Okay? He's a Roman Catholic, but it gets even deeper than that. Rick Santorum traveled in 2002 to Rome to speak at a centenary celebration of the birth of Saint Jose Maria Escriva, founder of Opus Dei. Well, that's no big deal, is it? He and his wife were invested as Knight and Dame of Malta. Magisterial Grace of the Knights of Malta in a ceremony at St. Patrick's Cathedral in New York on November 12, 2004. What does that mean? It means that they accept the temporal power of the Pope and they will fight for the temporal power of the Pope. They are a knight of the Pope's order and they will fight for the temporal power of the Pope. Now, should that matter to you? Yes, it should. Because if you're saying that you are loyal to the Pope, then you're saying you would not be loyal to the U.S. Constitution. You would not be loyal to Christ. But you will push the temporal power of the Pope. That's what the Knight of Malta do. That's what they do. And they're everywhere. They're everywhere. So let me ask you a question. See, some of you might believe that those people are saved, and I don't. I believe they're Antichrist. Because if you can call the Pope the Holy Father, if you can say there's something, I see no good thing with him. Yeah, he is wicked. All right, he's under the Pope's control. He kissed the pinky finger. But tons of Baptists and Protestants voted for him. Why? Because he had an R behind his name. He's a Republican. We got to vote for him because he's a Republican. And they're going to save America. You can't divorce the Bible from everyday life. By the way, the other reason why Baptists vote for him is because their preachers preach on generalities and they don't talk about specifics. They don't study and know what's really going on. How about Mitt Romney? Man, everybody's going to vote for Mitt. Oh, I vote for Mitt Romney! Wait a minute now, because this is a Temple Mormon. You're going to vote for a Temple Mormon, right? I mean, do you understand what that? I mean, first of all, Mitt Romney's a 33rd degree Mason. Okay? Now, that means something to you if you understand what that means. It means that he serves his worshipful master. It means he follows Lucifer. And actually, the worshipful master is the Pope. Just so you know that. Okay? That may be hard for you to understand. I don't have time to put all those links together for you today. But in the coming sermon series on the Jesuits, I'll explain that to you. But he's a 33rd degree Mason. He worships another god. He's best friends with Skull and Crossbones family, the Bush family. The funders of Adolf Hitler and many other wicked atrocities. That's proven by the, this is not like a debate. Okay? This is like hardcore facts right there in your face. George W. Bush, the Bushes, everyone voted for Bush because he was a conservative. You gotta vote for Brother Bush. That's Brother Bush. No, it's not Brother Bush, okay? Because Brother Bush just said when he was up there, they asked him, what do you see when you look into the Pope's eyes? God. And he does. He sees the God of this world. His God is Lucifer, the light bearer. That's who his God is. And their families are Knights of Malta. Say, why does that matter? Well, because they have been knighted by the Pope. Do you understand what that means? That they've accepted his temporal power. They're saying he is the power on earth. He is God on earth. And we will push his kingdom. Do you understand what that means? So when you see an R and a D, I don't. The only D I see is damned. That's the only D I see. Because if you're going to accept the temporal power of the Pope, why would you vote for somebody like that? Think about this. Why would you vote for somebody that bows the knee to the Pope? It's Antichrist. Why would any man take an oath to the Pope? Because it's bigger than Republican or Democrat. It's mystery of iniquity versus mystery of godliness. That's what it is. It's the spirit of Antichrist, and it's alive, and it's well, and it's there. All wars today are spiritual wars. They're religious wars. Everything that's going on with these Muslims and everything else, that is all a spiritual war. It's nothing more than a crusade, setting up for a final World War III. I have a lot to tell you about that, but I don't have time to get into it right now. Why do you think, though, why do you think they wanted you to be, churches to be 501c3? Why do you think Lyndon Johnson wanted that? Because he was under the Pope's authority too. He got sworn in on a Catholic missal. with a Catholic cardinal on the plane after they killed Kennedy. About that. You won't hear that in your history books, will you? Think about it. But I'm not bound by their laws, and that's why I speak out. Because how about Bill Clinton? He was a Knight of Malta under the Pope, Jesuit trained, submissive to the Pope. There are so many more that could, that we can talk about that are outed as that, or 33rd degree Masons or anything. How about Ronald Reagan? Everybody said, hey, we need a Reagan conservative back in. We need Reagan. We need a man like Reagan. Man, okay, I'll show you after the service a picture of Reagan at the Bohemian Grove. With Nixon, and they're all sitting there around a table at the Bohemian Grove! Do you know what that is? Oh, some of you don't. You're gonna be like, no, I don't. It's devil worship. It's worshiping a false god. It's paganism. But everybody says, oh, Reagan, he was good. Reagan did more to steal the rights of Americans than any other president of that time. He had the most liberal gun control policies in California. Think about it. Trace it back. But it's the image that is portrayed. But don't preach about it. Don't tell the truth, preacher. Don't preach on politics. Don't preach on politics. Lyndon B. Johnson. Those kind of men that put together those. How about the Knights of Malta murdered JFK? There's so much. I can't get into it today, but there's so much. How about Rupert Murdoch? Oh, hey, Fox News, it's conservative. It's for you. We report. You decide. Fox News. Rupert Murdoch is the owner of Fox News. He's a Knight of Gregory. He's under the temporal power of the Pope, too. That whole place is full of Jesuit-trained people. Bill O'Reilly, Sean Hannity, all of them were trained at Jesuit schools. All of them. See, why does that matter? Because they slant everything, that's why. But nobody will tell you. What are you trying to do? I'm trying to destroy this image that there are news organizations, and there are politicians, and there are people that are for the truth, because they're not. They hate Christ. They have stood up against Christ, and they want nothing to do with him. And they hate him in every turn. Bill O'Reilly with his garbage book he made about Jesus here recently. Read the book. Bunch of garbage. Amen. Not to be outdone. How about this? How about John Boehner? I call him the weeping house. The weeping house leader. The guy that always cries. He's like a girl. I mean, he just cries over everything. He's up there, John Boehner, you know, the Speaker of the House, right? He just starts bawling. What are you crying for? Grow up. Suck it up, Sally. Come on. Do your job. Well, he is. He's doing his job. Anyway, John Boehner is responsible for effecting the appointment of the first Jesuit chaplain in the House of Representatives. Father Patrick Conroy. How about that? Isn't that nice? That's a mistake, preacher. Now listen, preacher. You gotta understand something. None of these things are connected. These are all just coincidences. I mean, they're really not working for the Pope. They really aren't under his temporal authority. Just stop preaching about that. We gotta work with the Catholics to end abortion. Oh boy. Yeah, that's another trick. Anyway, we'll talk about that some other time. But if you think bowing the knee and swearing allegiance to the mystery of iniquity is not a big deal, then you might want to get saved. Okay. How about this one? I'll give you another one. Don't trust politicians. Follow the book and understand there's two spirits. Here's another one. How about John Roberts, the Chief Justice? Listen to this. Immediately after casting his vote and writing the majority opinion on Obamacare, John Roberts told the Washington, D.C. Press Corps that to escape the furor and controversy that erupted, he was heading to the impregnable fortress to escape. Robert's choice of words was carefully coded with secret and embedded meetings. That impregnable fortress, as it turns out, was the Mediterranean island of Malta. What would he go there for? The unofficial citadel of the papacy's Knights of Malta. It was to Malta where, after their stunning defeat in Jerusalem, the knights and crusaders had retreated to what they referred to as their impregnable fortress. So therefore, a job well done after betraying his right-wing backers, Roberts was inducted into the Sovereign Military Order of the Knights of Malta, commanded by British Bluebud and Grand Master Matthew Festing. What does that mean? It means the head of the Knights of Malta inducted him in for doing what he did for passing Obamacare. I mean, it was a setup. The whole thing, they already knew how that vote was going to go down. They knew how it was going to go down because they know how all of it's going down because it's all rigged. It's all rigged. And what you don't understand is how much power these people have, and that's why I preach against this. Because you don't understand. You can't fathom the amount of power that these people have. How about Obama, 32nd degree Mason, Prince Hall, Freemasonry? Only a 32nd. These men are all compromised, but if you don't study, you just vote for these men, then you start to see, well, why would George W. Bush follow it back? Then he nominates John Roberts as Chief Justice. It would almost be like all this legislation was waiting for the right people to be in place to push forward. Well, yeah, because nobody ever reads the bills, but they're already written. But if you keep voting these people into Congress and Senate, they'll continue with this charade as long as they can. If these people have oaths and work with Rome, you shouldn't care what they have behind their name. They're devils, and you shouldn't want anything to do with them. If they are Masons, which most of them are, then want nothing to do with them. We are called to expose them, called to explain the difference between the two. And I believe we'll answer to God for helping these people and supporting these people. So many Christians giving their money to these people. They serve another God and another prophet. They follow another gospel. And that's why I preach against politics. Because it's spiritual. And it's co-opted already. It has been for a long time. These people run the world and they're opposed to all things godly. 2 Thessalonians 2:7, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. Strong delusion is here. We're seeing it. That they might all be damned. That they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. All the major political pundits, Jesuit trained, all of them. All of them working for somebody else, not the American people. All of them compromised, all of them accepting. Let me ask you a question. If you knew that some of these people had made oaths to the Pope, would you have voted for them? Would you? I wouldn't have. Would you have voted for these people if you knew that they were high-level Masons on record and not denying anything? Would you, if they were part of the Council on Foreign Relations, would you have voted for these people? If they're in all these quasi-government groups that have nothing to do with the Constitution of the United States of America and all those things, folks, it's a big facade is what it is. All of it is that national elections are completely rigged. They are completely rigged. That presidency, they know who's going to be president. They already know who the two deciding factors are. They already know, and they already have them picked. When I was at that convention up there, they knew that Mitt Romney was going to be nominated right there. They knew it. When we were at that state level, they knew it. They had 100 lawyers there. They had 100 lawyers there to fight us because they knew we were going to... They thought we were going to do a coup, which we should have. That's what we should have done. Would have been cool. But I actually think those politicians were in on it too. They already knew who was going to be in there. They already knew what they were going to do. Why? Because it's spiritual. It's the mystery of iniquity versus the mystery of godliness. It is either you are saved or you are lost. And if you know what, if you get in any type of notoriety in politics, you are more than likely co-opted. And you were already bought off. And you were already making decisions to stay into power. Because we have a corrupt nation. And we have a wicked system, and it's been co-opted since after Lincoln's war. And it's never been the same. So why do you preach against politics? Why do you preach on these things? I preach on them because there's evil and wickedness there. And it needs to be exposed. It needs to be exposed so people understand. So you don't keep playing the game. You don't keep playing the charade. You don't keep acting like these people are not compromised. Do you actually think that someone's going to vote for what's true and what's righteous and what's right if they're already bowed the knee to the Pope and they've already said that they're part of that they agree with his temporal power? Can I ask you a question? Why does every president of the United States go over there and bow the knee and kiss the ring of the Pope? Why? Why? Why would they do that? Because they're placing their authority, the authority of this nation, they're placing it under the temporal power of the Pope when they do that. And they're saying he is part of this. See, it's bigger than that. Let me ask you another question. I'm going to be done. Whoever stands up to the Pope in the public, what major politician has ever spoke out against the Pope besides Ian Paisley, who just died? He went to their parliament, he went to their group, and he got out there and he thundered out, "I denounce you as Antichrist!" What a man. Can't even get Baptists to do that now. I heard one Baptist of the largest Baptist school in America. He got up there and said, "The Pope, he's a good man. I tried to understand his writings." That right there is a Jesuit. That guy's co-opted. Because nobody says, all these other men that had audiences with the Pope and they come to the United States, Jack Ben Impey called him the Holy Father now, Rick Joyner becoming a Knight of Malta, all these men doing these things, why? Because they're co-opted. They're already part of it. They're already part of that. How about your news anchors and your people in the news? How about Sean Hannity and Rush Limbaugh? What are they there to do? They're there to keep you in the right-left paradigm and bat you around inside there. You got to vote with anybody with an R behind it. Vote for it. They'll save the country. They'll save. Why? They're co-opted. That's why. They're part of the system. They're part of the game. I got another one for you. Alex Jones. What's he there to do? Alex Jones is there to what? He's there to keep you looking at the Rothschilds and never looking at the Pope. Never looking at where the Vatican, never looking at who owns all the money, who runs and controls all the money. Amen. That's what he's there for, so you can blame the Jews. So then there's a sentiment up against hating the Jews. Now most Christians don't. Most Christians are like, well, it's not it, you know, they don't understand the issues, but most other people outside of that, they do hate him. Oh, they run the banks, they run everything. No, the Pope runs everything. He just put people in power. So why is that important? It is important because it's all coming down to one war, just like it's always been predicted about. It's always been, and anywhere, I'm going to show you quote after quote after quote after quote of men that said if you let those Jesuits in there, they're going to destroy that country. They're the most dangerous thing to liberty you could ever imagine. If they get in there, George Washington said it. There was a lot of men that said it. I'll give you an idea, another idea. How come Thomas Jefferson and John Adams were both killed the same day? One died in his office, the other one died on the congressional floor. Why? Why did that happen? Why did they both die? Why did they drop dead? The same day, July 4th. Why? They got suicided. It was decided upon them that they wanted to commit suicide. Anyway, so there's a lot of these things that have happened in our history. The Jesuits are responsible for the assassination of 14 presidents of the United States. See, it's bigger than what you understand. It's a bigger war than what you understand. There's more going on there. And all these people are designed to keep you looking at certain people and not the truth. Alex Jones is not a born-again man. He's a lost, wicked, hell-bound sinner. He is friends of Satanists. He is friends with Satanists and Luciferians. He is friends with that witch, David Icke. He is friends with all of these people. And people listen to these people. They're influenced, and it's to keep you away from the Spirit of God. It's to get you caught up into a political realm where you're not seeing the truth, that there's only two spirits in this world. It's the Spirit of Christ or the Spirit of Antichrist. And that's the real war. It's not with Muslims. It's not with Jews. It's not with anybody else. It's two spirits. Either you're saved or you're lost. That's the war. That's the war. And that's what's going on. That's why I preach against politics, because it's all been co-opted. By the way, everything I said to you today is verifiable in writing. Everything. Because it's true. And it happened. And it is happening right now. And they admit it, and they brag about it, and they laugh at you while you're giving them money. The only hope for this nation is that a remnant will be saved.
Amen.
That's it. Ours is a spiritual war. All these nations will fall. And all these nations will give in to Antichrist and they will follow him. But see, that doesn't make me sad. If that makes you sad, you need to check out your own spiritual walk with God. Because that ought not make you sad, because I have no hope in that American flag. I have no hope in this nation or the Constitution or anything else. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus and his righteousness. That's it. That's it. That's all. That's it. I don't trust them. They're all a bunch of lying devils. Yeah. Sold out to Antichrist. Sold out to their fraternal orders, to mystery religions, to Babylon the Great, the mother of all harlots. See, it's spiritual. That's why. You know why most pastors don't talk about it? First of all, they can't because they're 501c3s. And they don't want to get too deep. They don't want to tell you, don't vote for that. Now, well, I'll tell you, don't vote for them. They're a bunch of devils. Okay? That was easy. Right? I had some man get mad at me. You can't say they're all like that. Yes, I can. I just did. Oh, you can't. You don't. There's some good people up there. Really? Where are they? Really? Because I'm trying to find all the politicians that said, let's repeal the Patriot Act. Let's get rid of TSA. Let's abolish abortion. Let's pass some more legislation. Let's do some more things. Come on, folks. They're there. All this is there is a game to get you to keep playing the game. Just keep playing the game. Just keep playing the game while they continue to take over more and more and more and more. Yeah, stand up for right. Do what you can. Local elections are better, obviously. Local things are better. Local government control is always better. But at the end of the day, put your trust in Jesus Christ. He won't fail you. Though this whole world crashes down around you, he's not going to fail you. But if you trust in some politician, you're trusting in the arm of man, and it will fail you. You better trust Jesus. You better understand where the real battle is and get the fight in it. Father, thank you, Lord. We pray you bless us now. Bless this dinner that we have. Bless the baptisms today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.